You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 340. Ready to do our recap podcast for Notre Dame's victory over Syracuse, 50-33. Finally a win. It feels good to win, is all I can say.
Exactly.
Especially after being 1-3, it just getting another W feels good. So, we do want to talk about things that stood out about the game. I think the biggest thing that I wanted to discuss is the defense headed in the right direction? Is there evidence to think that things are going to get better? Giving up 33 points to Syracuse isn't great. That's a lot of points, but were there some positive things to look at that we haven't been seeing in the first 4 weeks of the season? And then just something we want to do, once we're at the halfway point through the season, we're going to look at our predictions for this season, where we were predicting how many points per game we think Notre Dame would end up at, and some different yardage predictions and some sack predictions, and we're going to see where we're at as far as that's going, if we're on the right track or if we're way off. So, Randall, looking at this game as a whole, anything, and then definitely want to get to the defense, but just as a whole, what are some things that jumped out to you, and then before we go through the different position groups?
Well, it didn't really seem like I was watching Notre Dame football. I'm not used to seeing a team score that many points, at least the beginning of the game, first quarter. Basically just score points, and you wonder why they even put a defense out on the field. I mean, for both teams. I mean, that's something you watch in, as a Baylor fan or Oregon fan. I don't know, just something we haven't been used to. Notre Dame's defense has been terrible this year, but at the same time, the offense hasn't been scoring points that quickly either. But there's definitely positives coming out of this game. It took a little bit of time to settle in. I'm glad it was Syracuse that they could, you know, get the defensive coordinator first game under his belt, get the team used to this, and it seemed like they caught on in the second half. And I'm glad they were able to do it against Syracuse instead of a team like Stanford or even North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina State.
Yeah, coming in, this was a game that we should have won, but I'd much rather do it. Even though Brian Kelly wasn't excited about facing an offense like Syracuse, an up-tempo offense, I still would rather face a team that's not as good than a team that has a really good chance at beating you.
Yeah.
This might not have been ideal for our defense, but it was ideal as far as from an entire team perspective. Yeah. Because Syracuse could not stop Notre Dame's offense. And for a second there, it was DeShone Kizer, 3 passes for 3 touchdowns for a second.
And it was like it was over 200 yards.
Yeah, the third one came back then, the Torrey Hunter touchdown. His helmet was down.
I think at one point his QB rating was like 1,040 or something. Matt had tweeted that out. But yeah, you almost, even when Torrey's touchdown was called back, you almost like didn't even feel that bad because like we want to see a drive. I mean,
tired of these home run plays.
But it was amazing to see them start like that. I mean, obviously at Syracuse they have no defense, but I think it put some confidence in the team. And the offense, and just to come out and score right away like that, that's how it should be. They knew that they had to outscore the team because the defense wouldn't hold up, and they finally did that. That's what I've wanted them to do all year.
And Notre Dame scored touchdowns on their first 3 possessions, so really impressive.
It was a long first quarter.
It was
one of the longest first quarters I've watched in a long time.
Too many times I'm looking up at the time that's passed, and it's, man, this game's going really fast. We haven't established ourselves yet. But definitely that first quarter, it took a long time. All right, let's talk about the defense. Evidence that things are turning. The first 2 series, Notre Dame gave up touchdowns. But there was a stretch there where they held it was let me just count here. Ending the first half. 5-6 I believe it was six drives where they gave up one touchdown in that drive, and then they did give up a touchdown the next drive, but it was Notre Dame had given them horrible I believe that was the one, wasn't it, where Notre Dame had an interception. No, that was later.
That was later.
But either way, even though Notre Dame started, the defense started out poorly, giving up two touchdowns on the opening two series. I really thought after that they were able to tackle a little bit better, and they were able to slow down the defense. And there was a stretch in the second half where Syracuse had six plays, then a punt, four plays, then a punt, four plays, then a punt, three and out, punt. Seven plays, but turnover on downs. And so there was a long stretch there in the second half where Notre Dame didn't give up points. And I think I see that as a great sign that our defense is turning things. Adjustments made. I remember Bob Diaco days, we were always amazed at the second half adjustments where it seemed like teams were able to move the ball at will. Maybe they didn't score a lot of points, but they were still able to move the ball. But second half adjustments really clamped that down. Now, there's no way to know if that's going to happen from here on out, but there definitely was something to that, some adjustments made that were in Notre Dame's favor for a change.
Well, there were guys that were making their first start. I mean, obviously Dante Vaughn was making his first start. He hasn't played much at all. So just to get settled in at the beginning of the game, it took a little bit. The post-game show, they talked about the plays. I think they said the first 11 plays that Syracuse ran, they Notre Dame gave up 14 yards per play, and then their total plays don't match up, because I think Syracuse ran 88 plays total, but then the next 52 they gave up 4.3 per play. So drastic improvement once they got settled in. And
Well, go ahead. And there's been stretches where Notre Dame's defense has played well under Van Gorder as well, but usually it's the other way around, where it is a quarter of good play or a quarter and a half of good play, and
you give up just a couple plays.
And but this time it was the other way around, where we played really solid for about three quarters, and gave up a lot of yards in that first quarter.
And there was definitely more excitement on the sideline. Hudson is definitely more energetic. I mean, he's running out there and celebrating with the guys. And he might, if he keeps jumping up and celebrating with the guys, he might wipe out a couple of the football players.
That's but, Jack Nolan brought that up in the post-game radio show. He's a little worried about all the chest bumping that's going on.
But there was definitely more excitement. You know, they got fourth down stop, and they were celebrating. They were excited. And I think it helped, you know, they were getting pressure on the quarterback, too. And this was huge, even though it was Syracuse, this was huge because their quarterback does not hold on to the ball for very long.
Yeah, there was a number, it was under 2 seconds was his average.
I think they say it was 1.7 is what they aim for, because a normal quarterback is a little over 2 seconds, right at 2 seconds, and they want to be faster than that. And, you know, against Duke, we saw what happened when the quarterback, you know, didn't take much time, just threw it right away. They could get no pressure. But here, Notre Dame was actually getting pressure. They were doing the right thing. And sometimes they just had three guys rushing as well.
And even we did see when they were getting after the quarterback, not necessarily for a sack, although Niles Morton did record another sack, you could see it altered his accuracy. When there was a guy running at him, his accuracy went way down, because he did have some open receivers that he could have hit, but he just overthrew them, or it was just off the mark. There was only two quarterback hurries recorded on ESPN's stats, but it definitely seemed like there was more quarterback hurries, or more times that the quarterback had to change kind of his normal throwing motion because of Notre Dame's defense.
Yeah, Coney and Bonner were the ones credited with those, and they put more pressure on him than that. I mean, he definitely had to alter his throw, in my opinion. And they were just they looked too slow to actually get the sack or the tackle, but they were still getting back there.
The friends, we were watching the game with some friends, and they thought that it just looked really slow, the game. Well, did you think that too?
You mean the defense? Or
well,
just everything?
Just overall, everything.
No, I thought the defense aligned a little bit, but a lot of those guys are, you know, just like even Jay Hayes, Jonathan Bonner, they're kind of those in-between guys. So they're not just, you know, a defensive end pass rushing speedster that'll get into the backfield. So I thought that looked really slow. Maybe on the offense, EQ being such a big guy doesn't look as fast as what he is.
And I think Josh Adams didn't look as fast, but I think part of it was just maybe the way the game was shot. Maybe the angle was a little bit different.
Well, and the size of the guy, even Josh Adams is big. Those big guys always look slower than what they actually run. For some reason, it just doesn't look as fast.
Let's go through the different defensive position groups and just any thoughts we've got on that. Starting, let's start with the defense. Defensive line, obviously Jay Hayes played a lot more than he has been playing. He finished the game with 3 tackles and half a tackle for loss. And I still saw, we had talked about this last week, Randall, will we see the defensive ends dropping coverage? And the weak defensive end, so if it's Trombetti. They're still dropping him in coverage more than what I'd like to see and more than what I expected. I didn't think we'd see it as much.
Well, I fear we would because that is part of a defense. Like, that play should work. And it did a couple times.
Well, it did against Michigan State.
And I think if you're going to drop somebody, let it be Trombetti. He's a little more of that undersized defensive end, maybe a guy that can move a little quicker. If you're going to drop somebody, just don't.
But definitely I forget who it was. It was I believe it was Jay Hayes and one of the interior defensive linemen. And they were grouped together at the center. It wasn't this game. It wasn't
okay.
Syracuse. But they were grouped together pretty much negating, like they were pretty much covering the same area and then leaving another part of it open. So I understand that it makes sense to use it. It adds confusion. But if you're going to use it,
make sure it works.
Well, do it right. Don't drop two of them.
Yeah, and don't drop.
And never
drop
them in
the
same
interior
area.
Yeah, which probably wasn't Jay Hayes. I don't think Jay Hayes played at all against Duke.
I was thinking it was the Michigan State game.
Okay,
is what I was thinking.
Think he had a couple of reps in that game, but Notre Dame did have more of a rotation. They had 8 defensive linemen play. Elijah Taylor played as well, and I was surprised to see them come out in a 3-4. But I do think it was partially because it was Syracuse.
I think, yeah.
Their running game
too
is terrible, and they knew they were going to pass, so I think that's why they came. I don't think we'll see that as much. It was the opponent was the reason for that. But, yeah, there was, you know, each drive, you know, there was a different group of guys up there. They mixed it up, and it was good to see that.
Some of the top tacklers, Drew Tranquil had 13 tackles. Niles Morton had 8, Tavon Coney 7, Martini and Dante Vaughn had 6. Now, Nico Fertitta came in and played quite a bit of football, more than what I ever expected to see him play. Now, actually, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, well, yeah, let's talk about the secondary, I guess. Stutzel went out with that targeting call, and after I saw it and they replayed it, I knew he was going to be ejected because he did hit the quarterback slid and he did hit him in the neck head area. I just knew it.
Well,
even though it didn't look malicious at all. I think he jumped to try to get over the sliding quarterback. It wasn't like he was trying to hit him, diving and trying to hit him, but
there was a couple of things wrong with the whole scenario. First of all, the officials on the field did not call it. They called it
when you hit the player when they're sliding. Is that what they called?
I'm totally blanking.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah, they did call a penalty, but that was one of the first times in college football that they've actually enforced it, that the replay officials can call, they want to replay, watch a replay, and make their decision. And if you would have been listening, did you hear the announcers at all?
I didn't.
Brock Hurd, I don't know if that's how you say his last name, but he was the most annoying commentator I've ever had in Notre Dame football. He just literally, a lot of people were fussing about it. He was begging for the officials to call this targeting. I mean, he would go through each step and he kept repeating, and because of other stuff he was saying, well, as well, just made it worse. But some people even commented, we're hoping he would get ejected. But the thing is, if you look at the rule, it was targeting. The frustrating thing is just the consistency. You call that targeting, but then they wouldn't overturn the hit on Torrey Hunter.
Yeah.
And the officials on the field, like, it was...
Well, and it's fine if you miss it. Sometimes you'll miss it. But yeah. Then there was the timeout for the injury, and then you have time to replay.
Here they didn't even have a timeout. And the other thing is, if this was, why didn't Syracuse do the concussion protocol on the quarterback? Whenever there's a hit like that, helmet, they're out there checking him out. They're supposed to.
Maybe that should be in the penalty. The only way that there'll be a targeting call is if the other player goes through concussion protocols.
They didn't even look. They didn't even check him.
Well, it was clear it wasn't a hard hit. I mean,
oh, but he was like holding his head.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would call it a flop. I mean, I think he was, you know, it was a hit to the head. I mean, he did get hit. But just having it called in that instance and then not having it called, it never goes Notre Dame's way. I mean, every play that there's always been some controversy with each
this targeting one.
Yes.
Not in general, but the targeting calls, we always get the raw end of the deal.
But yeah, so he's out, and that's why Nico Fertitta was in there playing.
Which at least it happened in the first half, so we'll have Studs still back for the first quarter.
I agree. I was like, at least it's happening in the first half.
How did you think Nico played, and do you think we'll... I mean, I think we will continue to see him, just because Brian Kelly has made it pretty clear by saying it and also by demonstrating it that they are going to play a lot of guys. But do you expect he'll play... do you think I'll play a lot of snaps, or will it be more maybe a couple plays here and there to give the starter a breather?
I think he's actually going to play quite a few snaps, which I actually think that. I've always thought that he was eventually going to be playing at Notre Dame, not just on special teams. But he also brings that swagger that he's an aggressive player, and he might get called for a few more penalties.
Well, yeah.
And that's something that they're looking for right now. But he played good when he was in there, and I think we'll continue to see him.
I thought he played solid, yeah. I didn't think he looked... Normally, I would have expected him to look more out of position than even like a Tranquil because of some of those physical limitations. But I thought he looked pretty solid.
Here's the thing with him. He is a smaller guy, just like Sean Crawford. And those smaller guys, for them to get on the field, they have to play extremely smart. And so he is a smart football player. And I think that's what will kind of...
He just has a habit of picking up some stupid penalties.
Yeah. But, I mean, he knows what he's supposed to be doing. And I think that's what's going to get him out on the field, is because there are guys that have more physical talent than him. But, I don't know. He's not quite the Joe Schmidt, but... I mean,
oh, he's not. He's definitely.
He has more. What I'm saying is he's not just all brains. I mean, he does have some physical tools.
Yeah,
And so, yeah, and because of how many defensive backs they play, they played 11 defensive backs in this game.
So let's continue on that thread. Defensive backs, nickelback, Cole Luke. Brian Kelly said he likes Cole Luke at nickel. And I don't remember where I heard this. I'm pretty sure it was from Brian Kelly in one of his, maybe it was the radio show or something. Do you recall hearing about how they like moving Cole to nickel because they're trying to teach the guys differently? And it's easier if he's at a new position because the old teaching isn't going through his head. They just kind of teach him.
Was that this year or was it
last? Yes, it was this year, unless I just dreamt it up out of thin air.
I was going to say he dreamt out of thin air, but I thought it would have been a while ago that he said something like that. But, yeah, I can't – I don't know for sure when it was. But I was glad to see them make some adjustment because the announcers need to stop saying that Cole Luke is the best defensive player on their team, or the best tackler, their best player back there, because he is not.
No.
He has regressed.
I did think though he did take a step forward from where he was at.
Maybe it's because
the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The previous 2 weeks.
Even on one of the first plays, one of the first drives Syracuse had, he missed the tackle. He held on to the guy's shirt. Did you see?
He ripped part of it.
How far that shirt stretched. But he missed the tackle, and based that one drive, on the touchdown run, when they did get the touchdown, then at the end of that drive, he bit on the fake. He went one way, the quarterback went the other way, or it was the running back. They ran. It was just enough of a delay that they got past him.
Yeah, it looks like he should have definitely been in position to be able to make that tackle.
That's what's so frustrating about this team, is that what has happened to all the guys that have been there for 2 or 3 years? I mean, what has happened? Why? There should be no reason that we are playing true freshmen, especially that many on the defense. Well, which Notre Dame has, if you look at last one, they have played quite a few freshmen in the defensive back positions.
And we're not playing them on the defensive line or at linebacker. It is primarily at safety and cornerback.
And they did struggle for a couple. The recruiting was not good for a couple years, and that's why they took so many in the last cycle. But I thought last 2 weeks is that, you know, you kind of forget about it, but McKelty Williams should be here, and he would probably be, because of what happened, everything that happened, he would probably be getting quite a bit of playing time.
Oh, I'm sure.
At safety, if not the starter. Because he, you know, there was talk that he was going to play as a true freshman.
Yeah.
When Max Redfield was here and Elijah Shoemate, when they had those guys, and Matthias Farley. I mean, he never did, but there was talk about it. I mean, he was on the verge of playing. And so there's another guy that you miss. So, there, you know, once you start looking at who the upperclassmen would have been, you know, a lot of them are gone or hurt. Nick Watkins is out for the year now. He's going to need another surgery. You know, Devin Butler is obviously still out. Max Redfield. That's where they're at. And the poor recruiting in that.
Avery Sebastian, I think he's kind of played himself out of any significant role the remainder of the season. He'll probably play some, but I don't think he'll ever be back at being the starter or the primary backup.
Not with how
because Studstill's playing great, and yeah. All right,
but there was at one point there was four true freshmen out there. They had a Vaughn, Pride, Elliott, and Studstill were all playing at the same time. Four true freshmen. Two corners, two safeties. So that's crazy.
Anything about the linebackers? We did talk about Niles Morgan had another sack. Coney had a couple
They played five linebackers in this game, which they were in a 3-4 quite a bit of the time. Asmir Bilal finally had some playing time. I thought the linebackers did really well. Coney played really good. Morgan continues to be the bright spot on the team, even though this defense looks terrible. That's why he's kind of getting overshadowed. It's because how bad the entire defense is playing. But he's now 13th in the nation with 29 solo tackles.
And Greer, I thought Greer had a solid game too.
Yeah.
He ended with six tackles, one pass defended, and 1.5 tackles for loss.
We're not seeing quite as much of Anawalu as we did the first couple games.
Yeah, you're right.
But I do think it's because the other guys are stepping up and are playing better, and so he doesn't have to be in there cleaning things up. And they're not using him as a D lineman like they did against Texas. So.
Yeah. We think that Trimbetti is undersized at defensive end, but
yeah,
Anawalu, if he's your defensive end, yeah, pretty big disadvantage.
One thing I didn't mention with the defensive line, Jerron Jones did block another kick. It was his sixth in his career. I like what I think Matt tweeted it out. He was like, if he would play as hard as what if he would play, you know, the rest of the time, just as hard as he would play against the kicks, you know, he would be an insane defense. We wouldn't be last in the nation with the in the defense. He still takes off on plays, and then all of a sudden he decides to step up, especially when the kicker's out there. He decides to. Did you see that picture that's circling right now of the player?
Yeah, I did.
Punching him. Basically punched him in the nuts when he was kicking the ball. So Duran did send out a couple pictures of that.
Was it a punch or was it a kick?
No, it's punch. So, and it looks, it doesn't really look like an accident. But yeah, they're trying to do whatever they can to keep him from blocking the ball.
Of course, no flag or penalty for that. Okay, should we talk about offense now?
Sure.
All right, Notre Dame started out the game probably as well as you could from an offensive perception. First two passes were touchdowns to Equanimeous St. Brown, and the first three drives ended in touchdowns. And even that fourth drive, it was a 10-play, 69-yard drive, but Notre Dame opted to go for it and had a turnover on downs. So,
great start to the game. Brian Kelly wanted the ball right away, and he made something happen. That's what they need to do. Obviously, Syracuse, but that's what they need to do with this defense.
See, that's obviously what he did. Yeah, score as many points as you can. I didn't think they would try to do that. I thought they would try to slow it down more, take series away from the Orange, but they still gave up 33 points, and so I can't really argue with it. And I think this would probably be what they try to do from here on out, is to score quickly, and instead of trying to eliminate possessions, try to just get as many as you can, and even if it's one pass, touchdowns, I mean, who cares if you give the other offense some more opportunities? If you have the best offense that's on the field, you're going to score more points.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I wish they could have done in these other games, I think, which they couldn't. I'm sure they had running plays figured in there. They can't expect to get a touchdown on the first two, like on the first pass of the game.
Yeah. And even the second touchdown, there were two runs and then a pass and a touchdown.
Yeah. I'm sure Kyle loved this game. This was the perfect Kyle game. But, yeah, for a little bit there, EQ had two catches for, what, 140 yards and two touchdowns? And it wasn't even the four-minute mark in the game.
Because, yeah, the first one was 79 yards.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive.
The last time anybody's had multiple touchdowns of 67-plus yards was Michael Floyd. He did it in 2009 against Nevada. He had a 70-yarder and an 88-yarder.
I would have forgotten that.
So,
other numbers from our receiving core: Troy Hunter Jr. also had four catches. EQ had four for 182. Torrey Hunter had four for 64. Stefferson had a long touchdown, one for 54 yards and a score.
He should have had two.
He should have, yes.
He was wide open on that play. I mean, it was a sure touchdown, and Kaiser just overthrew him.
And then Josh Adams had two for 52. Sanders got in the mix with four catches for 39 yards. Boykins had a couple catches. And we had two catches go to our tight ends, one to Smythe, one to Wisher, each for about 14 and 13 yards. Corey Holmes had two catches, and Dexter Williams had two. Corey Holmes, I like to see him get opportunities out there. It looked like he had a chance there to, if he would have made one guy miss, to have a decent gain, but just didn't make it happen.
I'm surprised we haven't seen him go deep. Like, he's supposed the fastest guy on the team. Remember in fall camp they're talking about how fast he is? Or was it in the spring they were actually talking about
it? The spring is when they did their
really talked
reports
about it, and then you didn't hear much about it in fall camp. But he supposedly has some blazing speed. So I'm surprised that they haven't just had him run down the field. Remember what they used to do with Chris Brown?
Yeah.
When Chris Brown was there, he just went streaking down the field. That was his one play. I'm surprised they haven't done that with Holmes. The catches he's had have been, you know, just across the first down line and you know, they've been critical catches, but we haven't seen any of his speed.
All right. And then the running game, I guess Folston, there was a report say he got dinged up a little bit in practice earlier in the week.
He twisted his ankle on Thursday, and so they held him out. Brian Kelly mentioned it in his press conference and after the game.
But Josh Adams was a starter, carried 20 times for 100 yards. Dexter Williams had 8 carries for 80 yards. And then Deshaun carried 9 times for 1 yard and 1 score. Dexter Williams also had that 1 score.
I wish these running backs, which Dexter does a pretty good job, but Adams needs to just dive ahead. Just try to knock the guy over and run. He takes too much time trying to make the guys miss, trying to decide which direction to go. And he could gain more yards if he'd go. And he would probably break some of those tackles. He's a big running back. He could break some of those tackles. Maybe if he ran like Kaiser did. Kaiser runs sometimes you don't think he should. But that's one thing. And Williams does more of that. But for some reason, I think Adams got used to the line last year, having them open a hole for him. And he's kind of waiting for that, and it's not happening. He's got to learn to just...
I do agree. Josh Adams, he does
go forward.
He does. It looks like he's waiting, stuttering and waiting for something to open up. But with Dexter Williams, he did cut back when he had that long touchdown run. But usually he just looks like he kind of lowers his head and just runs.
And I think Adams could break those tackles if he did it.
Well, and this is going to go under things I like, things I hate. I did think that Josh Adams did look like he was running harder, and he did break some tackles then too, but it was after Dexter Williams came out there, and I think that competition, seeing the success of Dexter Williams is good for Josh Adams, because I think he's running harder after these last few weeks with Dexter Williams getting some touches, getting some touchdowns. I think it's motivating Josh Adams, and that's one of the things I like.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he did have a couple where he didn't move forward, but it's basically a run up the middle. Like, he knew he was going to get hit, so he took it. But if it's anything to the outside, or if he gets past that first, gets past the defensive line, he kind of hesitates too long. But Dexter Williams' run, that looked like it was going to be a loss right away.
I know. I mean, it was blowing up pretty much from the beginning, but he made something happen.
Yeah. And I do, you know, kind of maybe switching to the line a little bit. This offensive line just cannot run block. I mean, they are in the back. The defensive line was in the backfield right away. Every game they are. They're right there. And Syracuse had small defensive linemen. Their defensive ends were small. So they should have been able to dominate them. And we've heard what McGlinchey and Nelson, you know, are supposedly this tank, the two tanks on the left side that can basically do whatever they want. They can't run block. When they pass block, Kaiser has all the time in the world. I think the sacks were basically on him because he held on to it too long. It wasn't their fault. They did what he has time. And it's obviously different trying to run block, but they need to get better at it.
I agree. They're definitely not as effective with run blocking. And I'm not exactly sure what the problem is. I mean, we do know they do some of those run-pass option plays where the defensive line is going to be blocking for a run pretty much, but it might end up passing. And I don't know if knowing that, well, it might be a pass, it might be a run on some of those plays, maybe if that affects kind of the way that they snap off the ball.
Well, they have to be the one dominating on the run plays. Pass, they can kind of back up and just keep the guys away from the quarterback. Running, you have to do your thing and push the other guy, you know, make him go a certain direction, and they just haven't been able to do it.
All right, I do hope it's something that they work on and get figured out, because we've got a great quarterback. You know, he passed for 471 yards, which is pretty good.
That's the most yards a Notre Dame quarterback has thrown in a win. I think it's the third most. Brady Quinn had a game. I think Brady Quinn is second.
I thought Brady Quinn had two games where he had more yards.
No, he got ahead of him in the one.
Okay.
But Brady Quinn was second, and Joe Theismann is one. And I think he was actually pretty close. I'm guessing if he would have hit Stepherson for that touchdown, I think he would have set the record for one game. Because he was within, I mean, it was less than 100. That would have been another 50 yards at least. He would have been very close to the record if he would have hit him. But it is the most that a quarterback has thrown in a win, which obviously shows they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
Because we've talked, I mean, we always talk about if Notre Dame wins, they're usually running the ball. Yeah. So this is a very unusual win for them.
All right, let's go over anything else. Things I like, I had mentioned kind of the effect of Dexter Williams running and having the backing and confidence of Brian Kelly, how that's kind of worn off and I think motivated Josh Adams in the way he runs the football. Anything for you, Randall, things that you like, and then we'll get on to things that we hate.
Well, the one thing I liked was obviously the ability to pass the ball. Even when teams know that they can pass, that they're going to pass, they can still get it done. We've got a good quarterback. The receivers are catching on. And it's kind of like Brian Kelly had said, you know, it's going to take a couple games, but they are getting there. And the other thing I like is the defense. Even though Syracuse ran, I think it was 88 plays, which is their average, Notre Dame held them under total yards, their average total yards for the game. So there is positive there. They ran the same amount of plays they normally do, but Notre Dame held them less than what other teams have been able to hold them. So that is a positive for this Notre Dame defense.
All right.
You want me to go into things I hate?
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the worst things is the third down efficiency. They could not convert on third down. What were the numbers? I don't have it right in front of me. But that has to get better. Third down efficiency, they were 3 of 12. And then they attempted one fourth down and failed. Which, if they would have just run the ball straight up the middle, they would have got that touchdown. But instead, they tried to cross the field with Dexter Williams and were stopped on fourth down. But three out of 12 against the Syracuse defense is terrible.
Randall, if we would have had more time, that was one thing I had wanted to go in and look at. Looking at offensively and defensively, looking at each third down, because the defense did a pretty good job then holding them to 3 of 15, Syracuse.
Yeah.
But I wanted to look at where was Notre Dame at on those third and longs. Like, what was it, third down situations, was it third and long, was it kind of looking at why that was so poor?
I think some of it had to do with Kizer just trying to do too much. I think Kizer realizes that a lot of it is on his shoulders. Like, if he doesn't have a good game, the team is going to lose. Like, he can't depend on the defense or anybody else. So I think he is making some bad decisions, you know, when he should throw away the ball or hangs on to it too long, just, you know, trying to look for that big play instead of being okay with, you know, a 5-yard gain on a passing play. He's looking for those big gains, and I think if he'd just settle down and be okay with those short passes, it would help a lot.
All right, I don't actually have a really good things I hate.
One is tackling, but we talk about that every week.
And I did remember looking at the third down for our offense, and that is really bad. But I think I'm just going to leave it because overall I'm optimistic about our defense and the direction that it's going. So I'm sure there'll be some things I hate next week.
What about the special teams?
Well, I did thought about that too, and as a whole, it's okay. I mean, we've returned 2 blocked extra points for 2 points. We've scored a touchdown, and yes, we've given up a touchdown. We've given up a lot of yards too. So there's a lot of good there, but there's also a lot of bad too. I guess one thing I hate is the pass interference call on Nico Fertitta on their fake punt where they went to pass the ball, and I really didn't even think. I don't know. I don't even think it should be called just because it was close to the line of scrimmage. It was obviously uncatchable, and I don't know. I didn't go back and rewatch either. Maybe it was more.
Well, he should have just let it go.
There was
no reason to be that aggressive. That's the one. He's going to get called for stuff like that. That's just the guy he is, I think. But the one downside, the field goal, Justin Hume missed another field goal.
I know, and that was another thing where I do hate it, but he's also made a handful too.
He made two of three.
So it's kind of, I know they're not going to be perfect, but I mean, I want him to be perfect.
But we can't keep giving up a touchdown each game on special teams.
No, that is true.
That comes down to tackling. And the truth is, we're seeing more of the starters on the special teams, which is what we've always wanted. That's what Alabama does. You know, they have starters on the special teams. When the special teams struggled, we said, you know, in the last couple of years, we said we wanted starters out there. Now there are, basically because the special teams guys have to play. But it's just the same. It kind of carries over from the defense to the special teams, and they just have to tackle. I mean, the offense tackled better on Kaiser's interception than what the defense did.
All right, I do want to tell you guys about two things. Number one is FanDuel. They've got great articles over there about college football, about the NFL. They're really geared for fantasy players, so they have a special offer for you. If you click from the link over on our banner over at irishsportstalk.net, on the right-hand side, it says special FanDuel offer. Click on that. It'll take you over to Pro Football Focus, and then you can get $20 off their all access, which is normally $140. You can get $20 off of that, and it gives you a full season of their DFS Pro suite, so a lot of the daily fantasy stuff. Aside from that, there's just great articles over there as well. They've got articles breaking down a lot of the big games, and we're going to have on an analyst from Pro Football Focus here to look at how Notre Dame is improving post Brian Van Gorder. Do they grade out better since they've kind of switched reins over to Brian Kelly on the defensive side of the ball? One other thing, we're going to be giving away a Fanny Essentials box, which is normally it's $35 per month to get Fanny Essentials box, a box filled with fan gear from your favorite sport teams, minus Notre Dame football. They don't have a lot of college programs out there, but they've got the NFL, the NBA, and I believe the NHL and MLB covered for you. It's typically $35, but you can get it for under $30 if you use promo code Irish Sports Talk. And we are giving away 1 month free to someone who retweets this episode. So this is episode 340. It'll be pinned to the top of our Twitter page. If you retweet it, you'll be entered. I'll pick out a random winner on Thursday. I'll announce the winner on our Thursday podcast. So retweet this episode for a chance to win a free box from Fanny Essentials. All right, Randall, who is our winner from our previous game for the free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters?
That would be JW. His Twitter handle is the JTrain8. He predicted a 45-34 Notre Dame win. So he got it pretty close. It's 5 points off for Notre Dame, 1 point off for Syracuse. So he'll be getting a pound of coffee. And one more thing I was going to mention. Dante Vaughn had his first start, and he was against one of the top receivers in the country, at Etowa, and he held him to six catches for 62 yards. He had more yards than that, but his 72-yard touchdown was Julian Love blowing coverage on that. So if you take that away, Vaughn held him to six catches for 62 yards. So very impressive for your first career start against top receivers.
And he had that really impressive interception a week ago. So I do think that Dante Vaughn could be a really, really special player for Notre Dame. So, all right, thank you guys for listening. Check back Wednesday for our preview podcast. And a couple days later, when we're doing our opponents podcast, looking at who Notre Dame's opponents are playing and how they're doing in their season so far. So thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.